Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poor, and my guest today is Danielle Hilly and Zach Garofalo, and they're going to be having a conversation about the continued gun violence in the city of Albany. So, Danielle, you're there, right?
Yep.
Okay, is Zach on yet?
I am. Good morning, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
Good, thank you. So it seems as though there's been another rash of gun violence in the city of Albany. So can you update us as to what's going on?
So there have been several shootings that have occurred in the city. The week before last, there were four people injured, three adult males that were shot in the stomach, and a three-year-old child who was shot in the arm while sleeping from the gunfire, which is, a significant, anyone who gets shot is a significant injury. But the three-year-old was asleep at a daycare when a bullet went through the wall, the outside wall, and then inside wall, and struck the three-year-old in the arm, luckily only causing non-life-threatening injuries. So we have to take some steps to make sure that we don't have a repeat of last year.
Okay, there were quite a number of gun violence last year. So has this subsided this year? Is there a lot less?
There's been probably about the same amount of shooting, but not the same amount of homicide or injury.
Okay. Now, what do you think the underlying cause of gun violence is, not only in Albany and the state and the country? Why do you think so many people carry guns? Second Amendment issue?
Why the gun violence is happening, or why people are dying? We don't have So I think that gun violence is a combination of things. There is an issue with there's interpersonal issues that are going on to begin with. There may be some gang related issues. They're dependent on the areas. Some of it is turf. Some of it is longstanding. Some of it is retaliation for incidents that have already occurred. I don't know what the underlying issue was in the incident that caused the injury to the three-year-old. But there, as soon as the summer comes, there's always an uptick in shootings and violence. People are outside, people are interacting, people are upsetting each other. There's a lot of different things that go on. There's also, Albany lacks a lot of, we don't have community centers. We don't have, there's just not a lot of stuff. There's not a lot of outlets for people to go entertain themselves. There's a lack of community. People really, they're not like they used to be. People aren't looking out for each other like they should. People don't know their neighbors. There's a lack of civil relationships that might assist in dealing with this. There are families that are struggling. There are parents that are unable to control their children, who then grow up to be adults who are in overly controlled. There's so much going on that leads to gun violence, and there's an abundance of ability to obtain a weapon. So there's a lot going on with that.
So, do you think that that the city government has a role in controlling this? What do you think, Zach?
Can you repeat that, Cynthia?
Do you think that the city government has a role in controlling what's going on with gun violence and the proliferation of people that are being harmed?
I think that we as a community all have a role to play, and that would include the city government, the county government, the state government, private partners, you know, because we're all in this together. And, you know, if we don't work together to solve these problems, then it's just going to continue to perpetuate. But certainly the city does have a role to play, whether it be allocating additional funding, making other resources available. That's also incredibly important.
I remember last year the Guardian Angels came up here. Have they been up this year, Danielle?
So I believe that they may have come up, or at least they said they were coming up. I don't know that they actually did come up.
Uh-huh.
They're not of any help to us. They're whatever it is they pretend or claim providing is not received by this community. We don't want them here. We don't want their type of vigilante attitude. They're not welcome. They're still not welcome. They didn't actually do anything last year except for put paper up on telephone poles and add to the trash that was on our streets. I guess they got a couple of people to patrol in their little gang, but they were not people from within the community. They were people from like Cohoes and Gilderland. So they made zero impact on any of our communities, and there'll be zero impact if they come up again. They're actually, to be truthfully honest, having the Guardian Angels here is actually a liability.
Yeah, it's incredibly detrimental to the work that community members are trying to do.
Well, it's that too, but it's also a liability. Now the police officers have to worry about keeping the Guardian Angels safe on top of everything else.
Right.
So I understand when they came here in the 80s, they got the heck beaten out of them on multiple occasions for placing their hands on people. So having the Guardian Angels in our with our already severely depleted police department, we can't have our police officers having to worry about the safety of a vigilante group on top of worrying about the safety of citizens of this city.
You know, I had interviewed a member of Stop the Stars yesterday, and we talked about all of the expensive apartments that are being built. And I had mentioned to him that if you drive down Clinton Avenue, you see a lot of homes with the X sign on it. So rather than building the high rises, how come they're not fixing up the neighborhoods that really need, you know, drastic help?
So I would say that it's probably because it's not as lucrative for them to. They're getting like huge tax breaks on these big developments. It's cheaper to build a cheap new development than it is to rehab a historic house in one of our neighborhoods. That would be my answer.
Mm-hmm. Zach?
I think it's incredibly unfortunate that, you know, more, and I'm all for sustainable economic development in, you know, throughout our city, but it's, I think, morally reprehensible when we do not invest in some of our poorest neighborhoods. It's moral bankruptcy, the fact that we're not doing that. And it's an incredible disservice to the constituents in that area and the families, like just everybody who lives there. If those houses could be rehabbed, you could put people in houses. You know, you say that when you're trying to help a society get better, you want to invest in housing so that people have, you know, a place to go at night. And then you can start to begin to rebuild from there after people have places to be.
Now, I had moved into Albany 10 years ago from Saratoga County. In those 10 years, do you think that as a whole, Albany is getting better or not? Danielle?
I think that the answer is both, because we've made some really great strides, but we've also made some really significant backslides. You know, we lost the bathhouse. We've lost more things in depressed communities. We have places where there's no grocery, where there's one bank, where there's no pharmacies. So we've definitely gone down. You know, we've added Albany Med City, which is not for us.
Right.
We've added these luxury apartments, which are not for us. So we have focused more on others than we have on ourselves, which is detrimental. At the same time, we have, you know, started, I think, to work a little bit more as a community. When things like Ladder 1 were going to get taken, people came out and they supported it. We got the bus, that the 100 line that finally goes up Morton Ave through, which is, if anyone's ever tried to walk up Morton Ave from South Pearl Street, that is an enormous hill and a really, really long walk. So we got community policing in place, which is struggling because we're down police officers, but we did some fantastic things that were really big steps in the right direction. But we also have done things that have caused significant backslides as well. So I'd say in the last 10 years, we're probably at the same place we were. If you were to put a scale, if you were to give us a scale from 1 to 10, we're still at a 5, which is where we were 10 years ago. It's a net loss and net gain.
Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, my answer is similar. It's a mixed review. You know, I think Albany is more open, you know, for business in general in terms of economic development, in terms of either local investors or outside investors coming in and trying to fix things up. So, for example, look at the resurgence of you know, the warehouse district down on Broadway and some of the new businesses that have begun to pop up. On the flip side, though, up where I live, up in Pine Hills, you know, we had this longstanding institution, the theater on Madison Avenue. That's been shuttered. And, you know, that might just be an isolated incident, but that went under. One of the nicest new building in this general area, for me at least, is the multi-million-dollar McDonald's on Central Ave. So you can go to a really nice McDonald's, but you also can't find, you know, affordable, healthy food.
Right.
You know, it really is mixed. It really is mixed. And, you know, I think that, you know, as Danielle said, we are definitely beginning to become more cohesive. I think people are generally beginning to speak up and speak out more, but there's a long road ahead. You know, if we're all going to come together and collectively make our city a better place for everyone.
You know, this might sound utopian, But do you think there'll ever come a day in the city of Albany where people do not have to worry about gun violence or violence in general? Danielle?
I think that the only way that we could get completely out from the gun violence is that we have to change as a society completely. It's not Albany. It's like the whole country. We would need to go away from very gun-centered type of a culture that we have. That's the only way we're getting away from gun violence. It has to be something that's not so ingrained in our culture. But as for violence in general, I think there's always going to be some violence. I think that the more that we can band together, the more that we make the behaviors that tend to lead to more violence unacceptable in our community, then the less that we'll see. This is still a place where, it's the capital. It's still going to bring people in. It's not like we're a small, more closed up community. We'll always have issues, but I think that we can seriously work one block, like a block at a time, to create a better neighborhood and mesh these neighbors together into a community. And we can identify things that we don't accept in our neighborhood, and we can make that known. Like, you see, let's say, for instance, let's take the panhandlers. There are neighborhoods the panhandlers are not going to, and that's because the residents are not going to deal with them there. They have already decided that that's not the type of behavior that they find acceptable in their neighborhood, and they're not going there. So, I don't want to see drug dealing in my neighborhood, but my neighborhood is not at a place where we're a tight enough community that we can stand up and say, we don't want you here. We don't want your type here, and we don't want your type of business here. So, we still have places that are dealing drugs. I think that it takes the tight community to say that it's not acceptable. Like, you go into some neighborhoods, and they're, the last thing you get from their cars on the street. They've said that behavior is acceptable. You go to another neighborhood, and that behavior is not acceptable. So I think it's about getting the community together and determining what is and what isn't acceptable, and moving the behaviors that are more likely to lead to violence out of that neighborhood.
What do you think, Zach?
Obviously, there'd have to be some real fundamental shift, which seems highly improbable on a federal level within the United States of America, at least at this point in time. But I'd say, to expand on what Danielle said about building community, that's where I think it begins, and I think that's the role that a block at a time and similarly minded organizations and partner agencies can play in this. A lot of people, so back in the day, like when I was growing up, I knew everybody on my street. I knew we all had block parties. The kids all played together. It was kind of like the same, one parent was in charge of all the kids one night. Another parent was in charge the next night. And again, my community is representative of, just a small, one little faction of society. But I think what a block at a time is striving to do is bring people together around issues that are really impacting us. And hopefully from doing that, and hopefully by creating community-driven solutions, that will begin to, get people to know who their neighbors are. Maybe build an informal or formal support system so that when stuff goes down, they know who to call. Or even just establishing those relationships, like if you need a babysitter, if you have to run out and do something, or, you need something picked up at the store. Like, we have to begin talking to each other more. And I think that's all across the place. we do that in fragmented, you know, in fragmented areas. Like, yeah, people are close to each other, but like that's not the norm. Most people don't really know their neighbors, know who's in their general vicinity. And I'm hoping that we can at least begin to ameliorate part of that so that you know who's out there, because then you can really begin to rebuild a community. It's all about connectedness to those around you. And I think that's what we're striving to do, in part by addressing issues is important.
So what is coming down the pike for a block at a time? What's the next? Are you having more meetings? What's going on, Danielle?
So our next meeting is actually this coming Thursday. It is a follow-up meeting on the shootings and the gun violence. It's gonna be held at the Morning Star Missionary Baptist Church where we had the last one. It's from 5:30 to 7, and it will include the police chief. We had a really, really great turnout at the last one. We had a lot of people voicing how they would, you know, some options that we could get involved with or that they would like to be involved with. We had a lot of clergy attend to. So that's our very next one. And that one is followed then by a conversation on traffic on August 29th at the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Albany. So we're gonna move the conversation from ideas to solutions to actual steps we can take.
Okay. Now, in a little over a month, the Aurora Games will be taking place in the city of Albany, and we're gonna have women from all over the world compete at the Times Union Center. Are you proud of the way Albany looks for people all over the world to come in and see who we are? Are you proud of that, Danielle?
I would like to see this city be more vibrant. I would like to see this city be more of a draw when you drive up the thruway. Like, I'd like to see that people want to come here to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's everybody's goal. I think that's the solution we want to work towards, but I don't think that we're there yet.
How about you, Zach?
I love my city. I love Albany. I love, I think, all that it can be, but I'm also not blind or naive in recognizing that we have a very, very long way to go. You know, I understand, you know, why it's important to market us outside of our community, you know, and make us a place that people want to come to. But at the same mm-hmm. point, I think we need to continue to work internally to make it that great for residents, for people who have to live here day in and day out and deal with the challenges. So, you know, I love the city. I love I think I love the possibilities of all that can come when we all work together.
I love this city. I've been here for 10 years and I don't have any real desire. I don't have any desire to go anywhere, and it worries me that I might have to. But I see the possibilities. I want us to get there. I want us to all be part of it. I want those possibilities to be what the community wants. I want us to be recognized as more than just the Capitol. I want us to have like a rich and diverse grouping of things to go to, theaters and eateries and stuff that's owned by us by the people that live here, and that shows off how ethnically diverse this city is. The Albany High School speaks like 56 languages, but I don't feel like that culture is shown in what we're doing. You know, the developments are not for us again. You know, there's downtown doesn't have all these different spaces. Well, they have the spaces, there's just nobody renting them. The Times Union upgraded and put those massive screens that don't really fit in the neighborhood in. There's so many things that I don't understand why they were done that way, as opposed to really showing off the amazing people and the amazing culture that Albany has. So, I mean, it doesn't make me love this city any less, but it does make me very clearly understand that we have quite a ways to go.
Jack, I'll give you the final word.
Well, come out to our forum on Thursday. This is where we're going to be taking things that people have said, the frustration, the anger, all that raw emotion, and hopefully developing a game plan that can be implemented. Chief Hawkins from the Albany Police Department will be there, as will other, you know, other officers. And, you know, we really hope to continue the momentum, but move from talk to walk and actually begin to develop some solutions that hopefully will work. And this is not the end of the discussion. This needs to be ongoing. So we really hope that you and you know, people will attend our meeting at Morningstar Baptist Church at 159 Quail Street, 6 to 8 p.m. next Thursday.
5:30 to 7.
Okay, great. Danielle and Zach, thank you. And I'm sure that we will be talking again, because unfortunately, what we talked about at the beginning of the show is an ongoing problem. So you've been listening to Danielle Hilly and Zach Garofalo. This is Focus on Albany. So if you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Danielle and Zach, thank you for being on Focus on Albany. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Bye.